Wormhorn. DK shoots, scores! DK wins it for an end round! The biggest man in MLS comes up huge.
It's only 3-1. It's only 3-1. Battered Red Bulls everywhere. It's only 3-1. It's only 4-1. It's only 4-1. Battered Red Bulls everywhere. It's only 4-1. You guys get how it goes. Up next is It's Only 5-1. That was a listener request by at Aguay Goat, the one and only legend. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Lions Blog Podcast. What an insane night. One to cherish, one to remember. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go because of adult duties at home. But man, was I wishing I was there. It looked like an absolute party. Someone who was there, of course, was Adam. Adam, how are you doing tonight? I don't even think I have to ask.
I don't have a voice anymore, but you know, I'll drink still enough podcasting. Beer that works.
Yep. Tell me about how Cappy's was before the game with the purple.
Oh, it was awesome. The bread turned out so well, and I was really happy with all the food. Everyone was so nice. We got to meet a bunch of people, got a bunch of repeat customers, got a bunch of new people. It's always awesome to see everyone come together before the match at Broken Strings. Got a bunch of ruckus people there. I know we got some new people from Twitter that I heard. There are pictures on social media from my account, from other accounts on Twitter and Instagram. So if you want to see what purple bread looks like with the sandwiches, you go look those up, all right?
At Cappy's Food Truck.
At Cappy's Food Truck on Twitter and Instagram. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a celebration of Orlando City before and during the match and certainly after as well.
And here we are celebrating after. Hey, just have to say, congrats. This has been a big first year for you, I feel like, for the food truck. And just have to say, congrats. So let's get straight into the match that was overall. What we're going to do is this is just an instant reaction. We may or may not have a full podcast later, but it is pretty late at this point. Adam and I are just going to break down the key moments, talk a little bit tactics probably, answer some questions, and get out of here. So let's just start with the way we started the match overall. We started strong, I feel like, and I said it in my little halftime. There's a tweet out there. There's always a tweet there that I did a halftime kind of therapy session where I just like, oh my gosh, like we're struggling. Like we started well, but 15 minutes hit and we started struggling for like the rest of the half. And that's the way I still feel about the first half. Do you think we were the better side early on, or do you think New York Red Bulls came out either a little slow or were sitting back and letting us have possession? Like, how do you feel about that first 15 minutes where we looked the better team?
I think, you know, I always say the first 15 minutes of any game, teams are kind of feeling each other out. We were kind of feeling out like just how much Red Bulls were going to press in this game. Answer was until they lost. But, you know, we tend to come out, I feel like, a little more aggressive than most teams, which is we tried to be on the ball. We tried to be, you know, have that protagonist mentality, tried to get an early goal because we know Oscar loves cheap goals. So if you can be aggressive a little early on while the other team's being a little more conservative, maybe you can catch them by surprise. I think that is all that was in there. Red Bulls were set up really well in the first half. Their press was working, especially when we tried to play a little more possession. We tried a little long ball in the first half, but not nearly as much as we did in the second half. But when we were trying to play more possession, their midfield press was definitely working before we figured out how to play around it and then get those long balls in. But I honestly thought that it should have been like 2-1 at halftime in favor. And we were lucky to get their all square at the half. So that was my impression of the first half.
I think 2-1 would have been a fair scoreline. It's not just because they hit the post twice. Like, on a when I see a bicycle kick like that hit the post, I don't automatically think, well, they should have had a goal there. Like, that's such a low XG opportunity. But the amount of times Luquinhas had shots that just went wide. We had that insane save from Galese in the first half. Let's not forget that. That is a massive save in the context of the story of the game, which was first half was close, second half we just broke the barrels off them. So for me, I feel like first 15 minutes, New York Red Bulls sat a little deep. They didn't press as heavy. They wanted to feel out the game, like you said. And then first 15 minutes, we always start as the protagonist. I think that's been a theme. We are always starting games as protagonists. We are always starting aggressive. And then we start to get into the chess match that is a soccer match, which is, okay, we're going to, like, these are the tactics now, and then in 20 minutes they could be completely different, and we're going to really go for it between the 35th minute and the 45th minute, and we're going to sit back in the 35th, 45th minute. And like, that's just because of players in a long season, and you have to pick and choose your moments throughout a long season like this. That's just the way the sport works. And so we're getting to that chess match in the Open Cup here, and for about 20 minutes we do look like the side under the most pressure. And then we go up the field and we have a really good counterattack, and unfortunately Pato loses the ball, and I was very, very, very upset because I knew exactly what was going to happen. We'd seen the story a million times before. We lose the ball in a dangerous attacking scenario, and then the other team transitions and scores. So first goal for New York Red Bulls. What are your feelings on that goal? Is Pato at fault? Am I being too harsh? What are your feelings there?
Pato is not good in the first half. He missed two goals that he probably should have scored at least one of them.
Shots on target at a minimum.
Yes. That were the result of, you know, some good, you know, passing build-up play. And then he gets his pocket picked, and he has to. Matt Doyle pointed this out. Juan was making the 80-yard run up the right side to support the offense. Pato has to know, at the very minimum, he cannot get just a bad turnover there. You know, you can miss the pass. You can, you know, kick the ball away, whatever. Lose it on a dribble, whatever. You can't just get stripped. Cannot happen, because that's how Red Bulls beat you. Red Bulls don't create their own offense. They wait for you to mess up, and then they take advantage in the moment.
Adam, you cut out for me. One second. Can you hear me?
On that side, Lewis Morgan.
Adam?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You cut out for me when you said they don't create their own offense.
Sorry, I'll restart there. So,
yep.
Red Bulls don't create their own offense. They wait for you to have a moment when you're the most vulnerable, and then they pounce. And that's exactly what happened, because Juan had made that run up the right side, leaving our right flank, their left, completely exposed. They just ripped down it, and then, you know, Lewis Morgan rockets it into the net. That's all she wrote for that one. Classic Red Bulls goal, and we had to know the game plan was don't let them do that, which for most of the game we didn't. But yeah, that was... Pato created that chance for them.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel as well. And did he get the ball toe poked off him, or did he like run over the ball and just misplace his touch?
No, he got stripped.
Okay, so he got it poked off him. Either way, like, it was a really good counterattacking opportunity. Just we had the overload there. We had numbers. Facundo was right there. Like, oh, I was so frustrated. And so they go 1-0. And at this point, like, I feel like you can even see it in Galese's reaction. We're all feeling the same thing. We're in bad form. Like, New York Red Bulls, who always beat us, just went 1-0 up right before the half. How are we getting back in this? Like, I feel like we all collectively felt this dream of a home final, like, sapping away from us. We go up the field. Go ahead.
As we were setting up for the corner that ensued, right? We go up the field, decent build up, ball goes out for corner, right? I remember thinking, I don't think I said this out loud, but I thought it, that this has to be one of those chaotic pinball goals to save our season.
And boy, were you right.
I was just thinking this has to be it right here. That's just it's just so Orlando City.
And it was, right? In the predictions, what I mean, like, I'm just gonna pat myself in the back. What did I say? Go off a corner.
Yeah, go off a corner, pinball.
I did say Carlos, and I didn't say pinball. Well, Carlos, I said Carlos would have
might as well have had the assist on that.
Well, yeah, he did. He flicked it on, hit off the post. Yeah. Felt it out of Araujo, and he slammed it home. But like, my goodness, like that was the only like we created good chances, but it felt like that was the only way we were gonna like break the deadlock here. So it was a massively important goal. I can't even explain how that goal changes everything going in tied instead of going in 1-0 down.
It's just the mentality that you're able to come out with in the second half because you're not chasing the game.
The mentality you're able to come out with, and I'm glad you said that, the mentality New York Red Bulls have to come out with. It's a tie game. They're not coming out 1-0 and they're holding on to their lead and you have to break them down. It's back to 0-0 basically. Like, tie ball game, both teams have to go for a winner. Like, this is a winner go home situation. So, very, very big goal for Araujo. We go into the second half and we come out. And again, this is where just the timing of everything went our way. Second goal so early in the second half, game state changes completely. So, first and foremost, beautiful goal. Moutinho with a great cross to the top of the box, which is something we did a couple times in this match. Juan did it to Pato. Okay, but
did you see the sex ball from Mauricio Pereira to Faku?
I did.
From damn near midfield, all the way up into the left channel.
Do you think that it was just a scenario thing, or do you think it was a coaching thing that we had a couple times where we were at the byline and we put it to the top of the box?
Oscar the benefit of the doubt here in that we mentioned in the last podcast about what we had to do better to fix our offense, you know, beat Red Bulls, fix our offense, right? And we mentioned, you know, where we cross the ball, you know, picking places that we cross the ball, either hit it straight at the goalkeeper, let someone make that near post run, or, you know, in another very effective case a lot of the time is look for that late runner from the midfield and, you know, that cut back to the top of the box, which, you know, worked wonders here. And it seemed like Faku was waiting for that, you know, because he just stood there with the ball and he didn't look like he was going to do anything with it. And he was waiting for something to happen. That something was that overlap. And it was like he knew that that was the play they were trying to build up there.
Can I tell you a secret? It's not a secret anymore because I'm about to say it live. My secret is that while he was standing there, I said, fucking take him on. You're isolated. What the fuck are you doing? And then he did that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Score one for Faku.
Yeah, score one for Faku versus Gavin. No, but seriously, I'm going to give it to the coach. Because when you see something like that happen multiple times in a game, it's not just coincidence at that point for me. I think Oscar and the coaching staff found a weakness, which is New York Red Bulls. They have their three at the back and they collapse when you get to the byline. And we got runners onto the edge of the box in zone 14. We just did. And what did he tell them to do? When you get to the byline, hit it to the penalty spot, hit it to the top of the box. There'll be somebody running on there. I think that was a game plan.
When they get there, shoot the fucking ball.
Yep. Cause Pato shot first time and he narrowly missed. Should have hit the target, narrowly missed. And then Araujo
also did it again, actually. Not on a cutback. He had a second time that cross where he had the volley opportunity.
Oh yes, the first half stick. Yep. That wasn't technically like it was still a
get the overload, cross it to the other side, go where the defenders aren't, and then first time it.
Yep, that's a good point. And so I'm gonna give all the credit to Pareja and the coaching staff there. I think that was a game plan. Put it to the top of the box when you get to the byline. Moutinho did it, goal. Juan did it, almost a goal. So fair play. Let's get it. So at this point, we're at game state of 2-1.
New York Red Bulls have to press. They have to try and score. And I love that we just did the obvious thing. We sat back. We faked an injury. Or we prolonged an injury to kind of calm our nerves down. And then we hit them on the counter. And we sit deep. We hit them on the counter. I think Araujo's goal was off a corner, right? His second goal? Both of his goals were off corners?
Yes.
Yes, because Pato put the corner in low. Yes. Clearance was weird. Benji went up for the header, fell to him, and he scores. So then we're 3-1. Do you have anything to say on that goal? It's kind of like another
bounce. No, not on the goal, box, but what I did notice is that we, after the Mauricio goal, we immediately started to go long ball.
And yeah,
I think that was very intentional to take away New York's ability to press us. There was no midfield for them to press because Mauricio dropped super deep. Caesar was basically on the back line. Urso was basically playing winger at that point. He was like linkage when we did want to play from the midfield, which was very not often, but he was going up to the front, just roaming, you know, the final third and, you know, picking up those second balls. And I thought that was a masterful move to start what looks like a three-man midfield and then have none of them play midfield.
And honestly, like in that rewatch that I did for the Red Bulls match, and I think we either did a podcast or we did a podcast the match after and we talked about it a little bit, but we did talk about like why are we even attempting to go through the midfield. When we talked about this match in the preview episode, we said don't even try to go through the midfield. And when I put out a tweet after we went up 2-1, I said time for long ball FC, don't even attempt to play through the midfield. And to his credit, we do have to talk about him. Benji Michel did a pretty good job at striker of holding up the ball and being an option, a release valve at striker. He got his chance finally. I'm just going to say this. He got his chance finally as the number nine striker by himself. He's really never had it, really, honestly, under Pareja, to be the number nine. And I think he took the opportunity by the horns. Pun intended. Give me all your love for Benji at number nine.
Oh, he was great. He was he was Benji. He did all the things he was good at, which is, you know, being an outlet, making direct runs. He was annoying to the other team. Even if he didn't end up getting the, you know, coming down with the ball the first time, he would always make sure he bumped a hip into the defender. He knocked them off balance a little bit. You know, he was in the way somehow to not let them get a clean turnaround and then allow us to maybe press them. Every time that we tried to use him as an outlet, he was doing his best to make sure that long ball strategy worked. And his hold up play was also pretty decent. And then when we do the successful hold up, get it back to say Pato or Mauricio or Faku, right? Then he would make his run into either one of the channels or just off the shoulder of the defender, and he would present himself as an option. And then he finally got rewarded with an absolute banger of a goal for our fifth.
Yeah, just absolutely loved his performance tonight. It was everything I think everybody ever dreamed of when they said, why do we not play Benji at nine? And I have to say, I'm going to put my hands up here and I'm going to be honest. I was always a little skeptical of Benji being a nine. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I was with everybody. I thought it could work, but I never saw Pareja doing it, like, ever. So I was just kind of like, okay, like, I'm not even going to put too much thought towards this. Maybe it would work. He would be mobile. But I didn't think he had the hold up. And that was my, like, big worry. But he showed he has the hold up. I mean, Kara struggled big time against the three-back system of Nilas Long, and I think Caceres was back there for the other game that we played against them, or maybe Tom Edwards. Someone else was back there this game. Dylan Nilas was. But Benji Michel deserves a lot of credit, and in this 5-1 win, we cannot bypass him and not give him the credit he deserves. So Benji at nine, I would love to see it again. He had that mobility. He had the hold-up play. He had the runs in behind. First 15 minutes of the match, if you rewatch it, our best chance from those first 15 minutes comes from a Benji running in behind and stretching the defenders and Pato finding him on a long ball. So next goal is a contentious one. probably from the New York Red Bulls fans, not from us, of course, because we already know what happened. So do you want to walk us through Facundo Torres' 75th minute goal that was a perfectly legal goal?
It was a perfectly legal goal. So Antonio Carlos gets the ball, sees Benji Michel running past the defense. Benji's offside. AC doesn't see that he's offside. Boots a long ball to him. You know, that's the strategy. Play the long ball, get to Benji. He'll either knock it down, hold it up, something, right? Pato sees this, and he's like, oh, Benji's offside. I got to do something. Pato just gets to the ball right before Benji does and clips it to him, making it a perfectly legal play. And Benji's back onside at this point. When Pato gets the ball. So the AR raises the flag, but the center ref says, nope, Pato got there first, put the flag down. Everyone stops playing except for Benji and Facundo Torres. And, you know, Benji just gets it to Facu, who is then one-on-one with the keeper and just, you know, slots a nice curled shot home. But yeah, perfectly legal play. No VAR needed if there was a VAR to be had. And everything was onside. Red Bulls fans have no argument here, except their team just didn't play to the whistle.
Yeah, unless they literally want to say Pato didn't touch the ball, but that's just not a fact. Like, it's pretty clear when you watch the replay, Pato clips this ball. There's a clear misdirection. Benji gets it, and it's actually Urso who clips it over to
Is it Pato. Urso? Oh, yeah, he does.
And it's a gorgeous ball. You'll have ball.
To forgive me. I'm a little drunk.
That's okay.
And,
that's okay.
You know, full of drunk. But Facu, I had a nice angle of that. I don't think they published a good angle of it on video, but I was actually kind of behind his shot from where I was in the stadium. It was a really nice curled goal.
Yeah. So and then we finish off with Benji Michel's 83rd minute goal. Facu gets on the left side, he's so good at crossing. Puts in a ball and Benji Michel sneaks it in, hits off both posts and ends up right. Did it hit off both posts or did he just hit it off the back post?
No, it was both posts.
Yeah. He hits it near post, hits off the back post and then crawls its way in the mat into the net. 5-1. We saved all our goals this season just for this match. Hopefully we have a couple left over for the final. If you have nothing else to say, who do you prefer in the final?
I still think SKC. I just don't want the storyline to be there of like, because everyone's going to be rooting for the Cinderella Sac Republic, right? And no matter what you say about these are professionals, they're going to be up for the match. Yeah, of course they are, right? No one's saying they won't be. You just don't want the idea to be there floating around and messing with our juju and all that, that we're not supposed to win this game because Sac Republic is supposed to have the Cinderella run. I don't want to mess with that. SKC, take care of it for us, please.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I lean more towards we have a better chance of winning against Sacramento than SKC. And I want that better chance of winning. And I could be wrong. It could be we have a better chance of winning against SKC than Sacramento with the way the two clubs are right now.
I mean,
September. Like, I don't know, but... Sacramento's just the lower level team. Like,
I feel like I don't want you know when. Okay, so we're Arsenal Spurs fans, right? You know when you watch your team play Burnley,
yeah,
and you're just like, they shouldn't be struggling with this. Why are they struggling with this?
Because they sit deep, they sit compact.
Do not want that game.
I think Sacramento sitting deep favors us because we can have more of the possession and we can
it absolutely does.
Pereira there and Carr. Usually can do Spurs well. And
Arsenal do win those games, right? I just don't want that game. It scares the shit out of me. Because you never feel confident when you're watching it until you're up like 2-0 and then they have to start to try and then you get like 3-4 and then you're like, okay, yeah, we see what we're all about here. But until you get at least the first one, you're shitting bricks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shitting bricks either way, to be fair. But I will say, at this point, I do have the match on. It is 0-0 Sacramento versus SKC, 84th minute. And Sacramento have had the better chances from what I've seen throughout the match. So I think we're split there on... either team, and I think that just tells you just where SKC is at, that you're even feeling like you'd rather see an MLS club, because if this was like I don't know, Galaxy versus Sacramento, I feel answer would be different.
Totally. I don't want Galaxy.
Exactly.
I want Chicharito scoring a hat trick on us.
Exactly, yeah. So, okay, so that's kind of where we're at. Let's go ahead and answer some fan questions before we get out of here. It is very late, and I've lost the tweet. So let me find the tweet, and then we can answer some questions.
Professional podcasters.
No, we're not. Yeah.
Okay, so while Gavin is finding the tweet, I have a couple things to address. The first thing is our championship episode, if and when we do win the cup. I am going to drink an entire bottle of champagne while we do that episode.
Okay, I'm about it.
Second thing I would like to address, I'm going to need everyone's help with this. If you go to my Twitter account at Kosher Taco Truck and you see I put out a tweet earlier reminding some people that can talk to Oscar Pereja that I have a tattoo bet with him. And if Oscar Pereja wins us the Open Cup, he actually promised me in the preseason at Pints with Pereja that he would write the word protagonist on my arm and sign it. And that's what I want to get tattooed. So I just need, if you like, retweet, like it, whatever, just boost my signal a little bit there and see if we can get him to follow through on that. And that those are my things that I have now addressed.
Was it on Cappy's Food Truck or was it on?
No, it's on my personal account.
Okay. Kosher Taco Truck. Too many trucks going on here.
Yeah, man. I know. I know. It's dumb. But I'm not changing it.
All right. So, we've got Wadman. we want the cup. Where's the tweet? Is it the pinned one you mean?
No, I totally. It might be under tweets and replies because I tagged some people first. I tagged like at Miguel Gallardo.
You gotta know. Put the period.
I know. I'm not good at Twitter. I'm not good at Twitter.
Yep. There it is. That's why nobody's seeing it.
It's under tweets and replies. So if we could like boost my signal, but like that's why I need an edit button. Okay. Write to Twitter and demand an edit button first and then retweet my shit. Okay. But we get systemic change, grassroots people. Come on.
All right. You're getting a boost from me. If y'all don't want to go scrounging through Adam's tweets and replies, go to Lion's Blog. Like that's either one works. Option. Right. Lion's Blog one, of course. But y'all know that. You listen to us. All right. So. Thank you for saving my life there as I go ahead and get back to the tweet. We have at the English Lion 1 saying, what is happening? He said this very late England time. So it sounds like you are going crazy at an ungodly hour. That's what it sounds like is happening. Let's go to the next question here. Yeah, we're winning and we're having a blast. Russell, my co-host for MLS Now podcast, at Mr. Danger Russ. Was Orlando really good or was Red Bull really bad? We'll start with that.
No, I think Red Bull's had a game plan and they came out and executed in the first half up until it came to the point to score the goals, in which they only succeeded that once. But say we don't get that you know, corner chaos and we go and down 1-0 at the half, it's a completely different game. I thought Red Bulls did very well up until that point, and they were very unlucky for like a 10-minute span in between like 40 and 55 or 40 and 50. Yep. They were very unlucky. And then the game kind of got away from them. And we were good at stomping on their throats when we had the opportunity. But the opportunity there was pretty lucky for us to get there. I would say it is a very even match up until the third goal, because they certainly could have gotten one back.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree with your take. We got a little lucky, well, a lot of lucky with the first goal. The second goal was very well worked. I have to say, like, that was just a well-worked goal. Like, that's a repeatable, like, the word I use is sustainable, right? That's a sustainable goal. Like, all credit to them. So we're up 2-1, and again, the timing matters, right? Like you're saying, it's an unlucky 10-minute period. If we go 10 minutes in that half, like, and then we go 2-1, I think that's even even different than the way we did it. I feel like we definitely rattled them on either side of halftime. And oh no, it just everything went our way. Everything went our way. So I'm not going to say we were extremely good. I'm not going to say they were really bad. I think the way we handled being up a goal was really good. I think that was the correct game plan. And so the next question he asks, Adam, is did Pareja crack the code on how to beat New York Red Bulls, considering he was really struggling to beat them for a couple of years?
Tonight he did, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And I think in the future, which I don't believe we have any more Red Bulls matches this season.
Nope.
And if we were to play again this season, I would be very, very interested in that matchup. But I would feel like that I wouldn't feel like I did coming.
We do play Red Bulls. We play Red Bulls.
I am very interested in that matchup.
New Jersey.
Okay, so I feel like for that matchup, I'm not going to feel like I did coming into this game that I thought Red Bulls were honestly going to win. Right? If you ask my analytical soccer brain, Red Bulls have kicked our ass like 3 or 4 times in a row. After seeing this and seeing Pareja come up with a way to deal with the Red Bulls press successfully using the talent he has on his roster in an appropriate manner, I am interested and hopeful that we could be able to do it again. You know, not 100%, especially on the road, completely different. Stakes are completely different, you know. But it's no longer the, at least for this season, no longer the assumption that Red Bulls will easily win that game.
Yep, I agree. I think he cracked the code, because last time we played them, like the code, like our process to attempt to beat them was wrong, in my opinion, just the way we went about that. And in this match, I feel like we went about it in a much better way. So I will say, yes, he cracked the code. It's just not always going to go his way every single time. That's what I'll say. But over a 90-minute period, like, yes, he cracked the code this time, definitely, because this is the way you have to beat them. Get a little lucky on set pieces. You create a couple of transition opportunities. Like if Pato scores his goal and we don't have the Araujo goal and we have the same exact outcome, like I think that's fair. But we just had kind of a really lucky first goal that changed everything. So thank you, Russell, for those questions. The other kind of realistic question we have here is from @B_Brando. Do you think the difference tonight was the coaches or players going for it more? Seemed the players kept trying to attack, but also the coaches didn't sub attackers for Schlegel and Pareja up 2-1.
I mean, it's both. I don't think you can do 100% credit on either side because, you know, after 3-1, Red Bulls did stop playing defense, and that's, you know, where all of our chances came from after that. They had to try and get back in the game. So the reason for 5 was just the circumstances of the game. The reason that, you know, we won and looked good doing it, players were up for it. They executed the game plan well. There was a good game plan. And, you know, things came off. So I would say in assigning my credit, 50-50. You know, Poppy had a great game plan. The second half was a bit of a masterclass in terms of matching the tactics for the moment. He did that extremely well and got all the subs right, I thought, when they mattered. but yeah, and then obviously the players translated the ideas to the product on the pitch.
Yep, that's kind of, I mean, that's how I've said this before. That's how I see the game overall. Basically, the coach has to put the players on the pitch in the right positions to do the right things, but the players then have to go and execute. And I think tonight, for the most part, the players executed the game plan. So well done to the players. I think that being said, that was the difference tonight, was the game plan. Like Brandon is talking specifically about, like, I think being up a goal and not just shutting down like we did against Atlanta, like we did against Colorado, and actually playing some soccer while winning a game and having a game plan to try and score more goals while being the team that's in front, which is a protagonistic thing to do. So I think I lean more towards the coaches, and then the players just did it. And yes, the players were definitely up for it. You could see it from the opening whistle, semifinal, at home, under the lights. It wasn't blazing hot out. Like, absolutely, absolutely, the players went and did it. So they deserve some credit. Coach deserves some credit, too, for not throwing on Schlegel and Perea and Tesho when up 2-1 in the 59th minute. Because we didn't score again until, what, the 60-something minute? 62nd minute was our third goal. And I think his first sub against Atlanta was earlier than that. But to be fair, it was Tesho for Kara, and Kara was having an absolute nightmare. Okay, all the other questions were at Shirley, you are not serious, says, what? So just increasingly getting what-er. And then,
don't
call
me Shirley.
I won't call you Shirley. And then at Tristan OCSC says, why is Orlando City the biggest club in the world? Just because we are. I will say, Pato is trending on Twitter right now. I don't know what he did, but
he tweeted a purple heart.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He's got like 14,000 tweets about him right now, or interactions about him right now.
Chad Ochocinco tweeted about Benji Michel.
Did he really? Banger.
Yeah, the fifth goal. He's like, did you see what Benji Michel just did?
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. So we're making some headlines.
Yes, we are. I think Sacramento and SKC are going into overtime. Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, but his
hopefully that'll tire them out for September 7th.
Right. His tweet with the purple heart only has like 192. So I'm not sure why it said he was trending with so many. 192 likes. Here it is. Yeah. What's the big tweet? Was it Matt Doyle? No, it definitely wasn't Matt Doyle. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Quick thoughts on Giacchini. Do you have anything to say on his debut?
Good for him. Good for us for being so far ahead in a cup final. We could say, hey, new guy, get some minutes. Or cup semi.
Yep.
You know. Yeah. He looks athletic. That's about the only thing I can tell.
Yeah. He almost gave away a penalty. Honestly, that looked like it was in the box. But
oh, yeah, that.
It looked like it was in the box. But whatever. Whatever. Yep. All right. Well, I think that's where we'll leave it. This was our instant reaction. I'll try and gather the boys together to do a actual breakdown of the match. Maybe Adam will be on that, and maybe Daniel and Chase will be. It was a good night overall. I mean, Chase got a picture with his doppelganger. Like, literally everything went right. So hope you guys enjoyed this quick instant reaction episode. Hope you guys enjoyed the match. And definitely, definitely, definitely make sure you're there for the final. Can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. Exploria hasn't been packed in a long time. This can be a special night.
Yeah. If you have a friend who's a season ticket holder, contact them as soon as possible, because the season ticket member pre-sale starts tomorrow. So you can get in at the best prices. You can get, you know, an allotment of tickets that allow you to get the best seats. I believe wall tickets start at $20. So get on that and let's pack the stadium for the final.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. I will be contacting Daniel, who I believe is a season ticket holder. So yeah. All right, Adam, where can our listeners find you at?
You can find me personally at Kosher Taco Truck on Twitter and Instagram, and professionally at Cappy's Food Truck on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, sir. And retweet the tweet on at Kosher Taco Truck.
Under Do tweets it. And replies, the one that says that Oscar needs to get a tattoo with me.
If he wins the cup. If he wins the cup, let's hope we do. September 7th, save the date, 8 p.m. by the looks of it. Cannot wait. I am buzzing. All right, you can follow us at Lions Blog 1, of course. Have a good rest of your night. And as always,
vamos, Orlando.
Shoots! Scores! DK wins it for it!